Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Art by its nature is collaborative, and yet the artistic process itself can bring long hours of work in isolation. A group of Black Hills artists are celebrating 20 years of banding together in the Art Forms Gallery in Hill City. You can join them in celebration on September 16th from 2 to 4:30. But joining us now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Black Hills studio, we have four of those artists with us today. We are welcoming Mary Jo Marcy, Nancy Ann Barker, Pete Stack, and Paul Horsted to the program. So hello all at once here. Thanks for being here and gathering around the table with us.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having
us. Hi, Lori. Yeah.
And Mary Jo, let's start with you because you are one of the founding members of this Art Forms Gallery. And tell us a little bit how it is structured, how it got its start.
Well, actually, it got its start because Ann McKernan worked for John Crane Gallery, and they were in that building that we started in. And she called and said, John Crane just bought the building across the street. We need to start an art co-op. And so basically, we got people together, artists, Denise Etzcorn, Diane Murray, they kind of started the ball rolling. And we went to Shoot Roosters, and they let us have meetings there every Sunday afternoon. So we got people together, and people from the area, people from Custer, like Nancy Barker, and quite a few artists, because they had an art co-op, the Minnelusahan, the
Minnakata
Arts and Crafts. And so we learned a lot from them. And Ann McKernan had been involved in a co-op in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And so, and Larry Hsu, who taught at School of Mines, he and his wife, Rosemary, they got involved right away. And it just kept snowballing. We figured out, we sat down and did math every time we had a meeting and figured we needed a certain amount of artists before we could afford to pay the rent. And we wanted to be able to ensure that we paid the rent for the whole year. Because some of the artists thought we should just pay it for the summer. and the building would be gone. So
right, but that's a very interesting point, though, because in the Black Hills, that's one of the things that you have to think about is how much it fills up at a certain time of year, and then at another time of year, not quite as much. It's you know, you're really dealing with two different cities, two different regions, two different audiences throughout the year, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And then our shoulder seasons are different, and winter is pretty quiet, you know.
But you already had such a large pool of artists to talk with. And Mary, if we could just stay with you for a couple more minutes here, because I'm fascinated. 20 years ago, when, you know, hey, we need a co-op, there's a long list of people you could reach out to. The art scene was already in pretty good shape 20 years ago.
Yeah, in a lot of ways it was, but compared to what we have for galleries now, like the Dakota Art Gallery in Rapid City was probably the only one between Sioux Falls and Denver for quite a while. And then we ended up with, you know, John Crane, Warrior Work came into Hill City with, you know, and things started to grow. So,
yeah. Nancy, if we could bring you into the conversation next, tell me a little bit about how you got your start in doing, you know, bringing your art to different places throughout the Black Hills.
Well, I was living in New Mexico and decided to move to the Black Hills in 1993. I already had galleries set up in the Southwest. When I moved to Hot Springs, I virtually knew no one. And so I was already creating work and just kind of hit the streets to see what was available here and started showing my work in different galleries in the Black Hills. And then a group of us started Minnakata Arts and Crafts Co-op in Hot Springs, and we only had 11 members, and most of us had full-time jobs as well. So just as Art Forms was organizing, we were starting to dissolve our cooperative. We were all just kind of burnt out. So a number of us joined Art Forms early on, and it was just a wonderful experience. And for me, that allowed me to meet so many other artists from the Black Hills. And I find that really stimulating to work with other artists, to work with the public, to have receptions, and you get to talk to people one-on-one. When I was selling my work to different galleries, you kind of miss out on that. You're solo. You're taking your work in, you drop it off, and the business owner, they display it however they want to. In a co-op, I find it very, it's inspiring. I have my own space. I can go in and display it the way I want to, and, you know, I can be part of this group that's really wonderful. It's a positive experience. So I just rejoined Art Forms last January, and I'm very, very glad to be part of the group again.
we are too.
Yeah.
Amen, sister.
Paul Horsted, you've been a member of Art Forms Gallery for 17 years now. Tell me about your early involvement. How did you, because you've been a photographer for more than 30, so how did you make the connection with Art Forms?
Well, my wife and I chose to move back to the Black Hills, where she had been from, and I was from Eastern South Dakota back around, 1999. And so we just missed the formation of the gallery, but a couple of years later, I was, trying to expand my business and doing more photography around the hills and looking for a place to show that work, and started publishing books, one on the Custer Expedition out here, of course, and that was our first title, and then some others, and it just gave me such a great, as Nancy said, support network to work with. You know, you're on your own a lot of the time as an artist, and it's great to have these monthly meetings where we all sit down together and, you know, we do the business of the gallery, but then we just yuck it up and have a great time talking about, you know, what's going on in the hills with art and what kind of problems we might be facing and how we might resolve those and what other artists are doing to, you know, deal with a lot of those same issues. And so it's just been such a supportive organization that I've been really privileged to be a part of it this long.
And Paul, what are some of the challenges for artists in the Black Hills that are sort of universal?
Well, I guess, you know, you have this creative process, and I've often imagined myself literally wearing a hat that says artist some of the time, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you need to put on the business hat, and to me that's one of the greatest challenges, is being an artist and making it work financially. You know, as Nancy mentioned, I mean, a lot of people that are trying to be artists also have to work a regular job, you might say, and I guess maybe we're all shooting to get to that point where we can make it as an artist solely, and so that does require some business skills, or at least paying attention to where the money's going and coming in. And again, that's a microcosm of what the whole organization, I think, has done. I'm looking at Mary Jo here, and you know, there was a time when members were bringing in toilet paper and paper towels and loaning yeah. money to the gallery, and you know, back in the early days, yeah. there were some tough times there, like you know, in the dead of winter, for example. And so I think we've grown beyond that now, where we have a savings account and we can pay all of our bills and more. And I think all of our artists are pretty happy with how that's working.
And Mary, talk a little bit about that, just the fact that when times get tough, it's really the artists that show up to try to support one another and keep the whole operation going.
Yeah, when we started, we were in the big building across the street where Harley Davidson is now, and some of us had to pay our dues for the next year in the winter, just so we could pay for the heat in that building for the rest of the winter to get to spring, you know, when we actually started making money for the gallery. So, and like Paul said, when we went to meetings, we'd bring toilet paper, paper towels, soap, cleaning products, that kind of thing, because we didn't have a budget for it, so everybody was supposed to bring what they could.
and Paul, that's really how families are formed, right? So this is a group of artists, but it's also become, you know, a family. This is a 20-year family celebration.
Very much so. You know, we've had, estimated, looking at some earlier membership lists, we've probably had over 100 artists, members of Art Forms at one time or another, and we've lost members to, you know, to old age and death. We've lost members that moved out of state for one reason or another, had other circumstances, but we continue to attract this core of people who, like you said, think, want to be part of something a little bigger than themselves and have a venue that, as Nancy mentioned, you have total control over. And so all of those things, I think, are big pluses for artists. And I guess I should just say we're always interested in reviewing the work of new artists, especially in the Black Hills. We're kind of trying to stick to the Black Hills area, but if it sounds like something that might work for you, don't hesitate to contact us.
Yeah, and Pete Stack, let's bring you into the conversation as well, because we mentioned just how cold it can be outside in the sort of artist's tent. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to. and in our second segment, I want to talk with each of you individually about your art. So we'll get to that, Pete, but tell us, just your particular art means finding a place inside was a good decision for you.
Well, it was, Lori, because I'd been in black and white numbers for 40 some years, unexpectedly retired. And then I sat around going, what am I going to do? Because I grew up on a dairy farm in Letcher, South Dakota, and it's, hardwired. You got to do something, And so, and I had no clue about artistry. I had two daughters who were teachers. One's an art teacher in Custer. So I thought, well, maybe there's something inside of me. Maybe the left brain needs to wake up and the right brain go away, the black and white side. And I started, is it the other way around, Mary Jo? Okay, whatever.
Whatever works, whatever works, Pete.
One of the two. One went away and the other one woke up. And
here's what I always used to say, Pete, to interrupt you there. I used to say, if you can't remember which one is the creative side of a brain, you're definitely right brain.
So yeah.
You were right brain all the time. You just didn't know it.
Right. And that's when I was just sitting on the internet one day and saw this thing about etching come up, and I thought, sandblasting, throwing dirt around, sand around, that sounds kind of interesting. And then wine bottles started showing up, and I thought, well, there's got to be a correlation there, and maybe it could be art. And I put that together and didn't have a venue, so I got a tent, a 10 by 10 tent, and sat outside all summer selling right on the very corner where Art Forms is, and things were going very well. People liked it, and I built them and everything, but an 80-mile-an-hour wind changed my mind about that. It was out on the street that night, and luckily I'd taken all my wind chimes in I was doing some photography on them. So I said, okay, and Mary Jo, who taught my kids in high school art, I respected what she was doing and had done, and I saw her stuff in the Art Forms gallery, and she talked to me and said, this is the place you need to be. And I didn't know any better, and I thought, well, it's a juried thing. I'll be lucky if I get in. And they all liked it, and today, 2 years later, almost three now, mm-hmm. I'm there, and it like Paul said, it's a family. It really goes beyond artistry with amongst us. We're not an isolated group. We welcome people. We want to expand. We want to raise the bar in our gallery all the time. And over the years that I've been in there, we have, and we took a chance. We were in the back of the Wally Matusha's Old World Plaza, and the business in front of us went out of business, and we thought, let's take a chance and move up front there. And it took a lot of convincing on our part to get up there amongst our members, amongst the landlord. And we finally made the decision that we'd move up there, we'd do it right, fix everything up, and it is a beautiful gallery. And people comment on it all the time. And, you work there and you meet people from all over the world. And it's really, that aspect of it is very interesting to me, too.
Yeah, and the gallery turned out really beautiful. Pete did a huge amount of work on making it look beautiful.
Oh, it's my idea. It was the right brain. Right brain?
Yeah, there you go.
It's the right way.
It was the right brain that said, okay, if you're going to have a gallery, you got to make it look like a gallery. And, you know, I wasn't on committees for choosing color, heaven forbid, and placement of the stuff. But, you know, when we got it done, people have really complimented us on it.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk with each of you about the kind of art that you're putting into the world so people know, you know, about what they might see when they come into Art Firms Gallery. And we're talking about 20 years of this gallery and co-op in Hill City. So we'll be back in just a moment with more from listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking today with a few of the artists from the Hill City Art Forms Gallery. You can join them in celebrating 20 years of the Art Forms Co-op on September 16th from 2 to 4:30 in Hill City. We've got artists Mary Jo Marcy, Nancy Ann Barker, Pete Stack, and Paul Horsted with us in SDPB's Black Hills studio right now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the art that you do, because it's really fascinating stuff, and yet it all kind of comes together in this cooperative gallery. So Mary Jo Marcy, a retired art teacher, tell us a little bit about your work.
Well, my favorite thing, I guess, is to do raku pottery. Oh. And I use leaves that grow along my creek. They're a wild angelica, which is a form of parsley, but they can get very huge and very small, depending on where they are on the plant and what time of the year. So I make the pottery using real leaves, and then I fire it first, and then I put a glaze on it that has a metallic in it, like copper, and fire it again, take it out when it's like 2,000 degrees, so I have to wear like a welding outfit. It gets kind of warm. I put it in a Weber grill that has like sawdust, pine needles, and let it cool down in there, and then sometimes it's broken when I open it, sometimes it's perfect, and sometimes it's ugly.
And sometimes it's awesome.
So, yeah, never know. Yeah. So it's really fun that way.
I'm on the gallery website at artformsgallery.org, and I'm already, like, I'm short of shopping as I look at this. This is incredible. Do you press the leaves, right? How does that work? How are you using
I do.
Real
okay. And then I, into the wet clay. So I could use the leaf more than once sometimes. And then I like to do sculpture, too. And I also have another technique that I use that's like a pit fire. Mm-hmm. But I can get, it's kind of modified so I can get some stains. And it's, so instead of the glaze fire, I'm doing stains and lower fire.
Okay.
On the pottery.
So I've always wondered in raku pottery, because I don't fully understand the process yet. I'm listening to you, but I maybe need to see it as well. How do you get the sort of that iridescent look that it has?
That's because there's copper in the glaze.
Okay.
And then when I take it out at that close to 2,000 degrees and put it in that reduction fire, all the oxygen is driven out and the carbon is driven in, which brings out the copper colors.
Mm. Is that a surprise to you, the way the colors turn out each time? Or do you? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you really can't control that. And the weather has something to do with it, I think, and the humidity and how you hold your mouth right. I don't know.
So Lori, she's not only an artist, she's also a chemist.
Right.
Too, so.
Yeah, there's a little bit of chemistry there.
Yeah, it does sort of feel like that, you know, so the alchemy of you know, kind of magic that goes into it.
That's good word.
When people come into the gallery, Mary Jo, and one of my favorite things about artist co-ops in general is that you can go in and spend, you know, $10, you can go in and spend an unlimited amount of, you know, you can find pieces for every, you know, for every price range. And I'm wondering, in Hill City, what do you see that as well, that people are looking, that you have different customers who are really looking for that special signature piece, and then also people who are traveling through and they want just a small something that they can take home?
Yeah, you know, like I have some more expensive pieces on the wall, sculptural pieces involving the raccoon and the leaves and so on, and faces and animals sometimes. But I also have the smaller items, like smaller leaves, smaller buffalo things, and they're very inexpensive. So you really need to have a lot of different prices.
Yes. I'm getting carried away with all my questions here. Before we run out of time, we need to move on to some to some other artists. So fascinating. Nancy Ann Barker, tell us a little bit about your jewelry.
Well, I started making jewelry about 30 years ago, mostly because I thought, shoot, if I make it myself, I can make it exactly the way I want.
Right. Yeah.
I can use the beads I want to use and the colors. And I work a lot by my surroundings, I would say. I am constantly trying to find a bead or some material that's the color of the blue sky in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Or the dry grasses, which this may sound really odd, but it's just beautiful to me when you go out in this beautiful country that we have in South Dakota. It's so inspiring. And so I would say my work is generally fairly simple, and yet I think I have a real eye for color combinations. And I like using unusual materials, semi-precious stones that you may not find readily available. And I seek those out online,
right.
mostly.
Yeah.
But so I do like unique items, eclectic designs.
Is it always living as an artist, is it always just a treasure hunt for either the materials that you need or the inspiration? I mean, that must be how you just live in the world is different than, yeah.
And I think that in itself is what makes all of our work as individuals individual work, where they're often, like my pieces are basically one of a kind, and I try very hard to not ever repeat even a simple earring just by using one other bead that's a different color, or a sterling silver bead that, you know, has a stamp design on it, but so it's unique. So and sometimes I see someone wearing a pair of mine. I'll say, I made those, and you'll never see another pair exactly like those.
And don't you think maybe all jewelry should be like, I mean, if you're going to buy jewelry,
yes.
Shouldn't it all just sort of be one of, you've got a lifetime to build a collection of jewelry. You know, why go to, you know, the department store and stock up when you could take your time and find things that matter to you?
I certainly feel that way, definitely.
Paul Horsted, photographer, you've been on the program before talking about your art, but for people who are tuning in and maybe aren't familiar with you, tell us about this unique thing that you do.
Oh, well, I guess I've been, done regular photography for decades now, I hate to say it, but magazine work and books and so on, but a number of years ago I got interested. I've always loved history and began looking at historic photos of the Black Hills, especially the first pictures ever taken here, which were taken during this 1874 Black Hills or Custer expedition by William Henry Illingworth. And I learned that some of these places were right near my house, north of Custer, and kind of drew me into where I ended up, three or four years later with the help of several other people, my co-authors and so on, putting together a book about that expedition where I visited each of these photo sites and took a picture today that hopefully matches exactly with what was done back in 1874, and it's called Repeat Photography. So I've kind of carried that forward now and done other books all over the Black Hills and now 24 national parks, and hoping to do one in a couple, 3 years here. I'm working on it about South Dakota, covering the whole state, visiting small towns and places where early photographers worked. And so I love the technique, and it is kind of what I've become maybe primarily known for, but I still like taking beautiful, hopefully landscape photos and that sort of thing as well.
And tell us where you've recently been. You've been sharing some
pictures.
Oh,
I was just
pictures.
Out in Yosemite. Yeah.
Tell me that
You're
story.
On my Facebook, aren't
yeah.
you?
We're Facebook friends, yeah,
I was out in Yosemite. I was out in Yosemite for a couple of weeks, so right after the fires you might have heard about out there. It was great because there was nobody there. They're all afraid of this fire, and that was kind of over, and the skies were clear. So I was hiking all over Yosemite National Park out in California. I've done a book on 24 national parks, including Yosemite, but we may do a volume on Yosemite. My wife, Camille Reiner, and I put these books out together. She designs them beautifully, and I provide the text and the photographs, and then we market them to the world. So, yeah. And it's her birthday today, so I got to say happy birthday, aww, Camille. And by the way, turn down the radio for a moment, hon, because she's going to get one of Nancy's bracelets or necklaces for her birthday today. So in any case, artists support, we call
happy
that artists supporting
Camille.
Artists. That's artists
right,
supporting
right.
artists at Artports.
And this is, and we kind of, hint at it with some of the other conversations about living in the world, as an artist. But, on Facebook, when you show people what you're doing, there are tons of people who are in the comment section going, no, that's not good enough. You need to go back and do it again. And by the way, you need to take me with you. And right. In some ways, everybody kind of wants to be you in the sense that you are, inspiring other artists. And that brings us to Pete, who, kind of came to art later in life or, later in a career and found that inspiration. Well, why not? Tell us about your wind chimes. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was just a thing that put two and two together and came up with this idea. And I just cut the bottom off of a wine bottle, which, by the way, I have to be very dependent upon people who drink a lot of wine. But, that's
an interesting wine, right?
Yeah. And I just cut the bottoms off the bottle. I use a wet tile saw with a diamond blade and learned a new virtue starting this. It's called patience. And you got to be very patient with that. And then the etching part of it kind of meshed with it. I etch a popular saying and paint it so the saying stands out. So it's permanently etched into the bottle. And then I took some time to figure out what will make this last outside, even in an 80-mile-an-hour wind. And it took a little bit of engineering in me and a little just good old-fashioned common sense that said, okay, this is what you got to do. And I came up with this idea, and, I put them out, and, wow, people liked them. So yeah. I said, hey, this is a good thing. And I just have it's a throw of the dice every time you make one because you don't know, well, is this a popular saying or is this a saying that somebody will like because there's 300 million people in this country and they all got different way of viewing things. So it's just a thought process that you have to go through. And you just got to kind of let it sit and stew a little bit. And of course, then I have an art teacher as a consultant for coloring, what colors will go with that. And my wife who, gives her opinions and comments about different things. So I got people kind of looking at what I'm doing before it gets out there.
Yeah. When's her birthday? Your wife's birthday. Maybe we need to get a piece of jewelry for her. As well.
It's already gone by. Yes,
okay,
I need to get a piece of jewelry.
A piece of art from the galleries we support.
Yeah.
And Paul, it strikes me when he says patience and sort of the virtues of learning a new. There are virtues of an artist, and it sounds like all four of you have this sense of patience, and maybe that's one of the things, Paul, that people are connect to and are inspired by is the patience that you still practice in an increasingly impatient society.
Yeah, I hope so. If you saw me working, you wouldn't think I was that patient, but no, it's you're right.
And, forced patience, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We can't do it without the community. We're really grateful to Hill City and the Black Hills for supporting us all this time. And before I forget, I should say our president is preparing Nancy Reinhart and her husband, Joe, who's also a member, 40 pounds of pulled pork barbecue for Sunday's event. So we hope people will come for the art and stay for the food.
But, all right.
I'm bringing the buns.
All right. Yeah,
this is September 16th, 2 o'clock to 4:30 Mountain Time in Hill City at the Art Forms Gallery. Stop by and help them celebrate 20 years. Young artists, new artists at any age, stop by and get inspired and meet the artist as well. And about our 30 seconds left, Mary Jo, just talk a little bit in that last 30 seconds about sometimes artists want to quit, and do you encourage each other to sort of keep going and do the next thing?
Oh, definitely. And I think that's something that I have really realized that's important, is the fact that we can talk things over. We can, like Paul just mentioned too, that we get happy when we have meetings and talk about stuff and
it's a family group.
Yeah. A family. Yep.
This has been a pleasure for me to sit and relax and talk with you all. So Mary Jo, Marcy, Nancy and Barker, Pete Stack, Paul Horsted, thank you so much for being here with us today. Happy 20th and enjoy the festivities this weekend.
Thank you, Lori.
And they joined us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studio in SDPB's Black Hills Studio in downtown Rapid City.